Time for another edition of Good Day Health. Podcast for Good Day Health is at blogtalkradio.com/Good Day Health. You'll hear the expertise of Dr. Jack Stockwell there, Dr. Ken Kronhaus, and all kinds of reasons for you to live a healthy... It's not only... I think one of the things, Jack, that we overlook sometimes is motivation. Why do people want to live a healthy, happy life? Sometimes the answer is obvious. Sometimes not so obvious. Some people don't want to live a healthy, happy life. So if that's the case, might as well shut the radio off now and not bother to listen to the podcast, because this is a program for people who want to live a healthy, happier life. Health leads to happiness, I believe. Without health, there is no happiness. You know, people talk about money and success and all that other stuff. I think it starts and ends with health. If you don't have it, you got squat, because you can't enjoy anything. Right?
Well, absolutely. People spend so much of their life building this empire or that, or the houses, property, things they try to accumulate, a retirement program, some kind of payoff later on when they don't have to work so hard. And the thing that they've neglected while they've been building their empire is the health and the function of their body, because when we're younger, we have this feeling of immortality about us. And we can be neglectful earlier in life before the real results of that neglect begin to manifest. And eventually it catches up to you. I have, you know, many patients. I'll be 67 next month, and I have many
patients
who are older than I am, who are relatively good health because they've been taking care of themselves. But there's other people who are 20 years, 30 years younger than I am, who have lived on fast food because they've been so busy, they say, they never had time to take care of themselves. Well, that's the number one job. The number one job in building your empire is that firm foundation that is your own physiology and the way your body functions and takes care of itself. And we want to blame genetics. We want to blame the sick people that we have to deal with. We want to blame our parents or whatever else we can possibly blame, and not really be openly aware of the kind of damage we cause ourselves. So there is a little bit of genetics, but I would say it doesn't amount to more than 5%. The rest of it is what we have eaten, what we don't eat, and any kind of neglect of anything that would tax the body in the sense of exercise. Something get that heart beating.
All right, so with a focus on health and your well-being, Jack is here. His clinic is in Salt Lake City. He practices Nuka Chiropractics. He's a GAPS practitioner as well, with a focus on inside your body, every working part of your body. You go to his website, theforbiddendoctor.com, forbiddendoctor.com. There's always a podcast. You're going to be focusing soon on heart attacks, what causes them. I think maybe we got into this a little bit the last time we had a conversation, because actually you startled me when you said that heart attacks are just cramps, because the heart is a big muscle. And I have, as a matter of fact, I was going to bring you around into this. Over the weekend, I was picking up the dog and putting her in the truck, and I twisted my knee. I had something distracted me, and I turned as I picked her up. I turned on my right knee, or I turn to my right leg. You're not conscious, you just kind of do it. And then it turns out, okay, I moved something here or there. Anyway, the bottom line is that I twisted it and apparently ripped something inside there. I was in excruciating. I went to see my physical therapist on Thursday, and she did a lot of work on it and said, well, you're going to feel worse before you feel better. I always like hearing that.
Well, you tear a ligament, you tear a meniscus, you're going to feel worse before you feel better.
Well, that's what she said. So anyway, my knee got swollen to about twice its normal size. And it was, by the time Saturday came around, it was excruciating.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't move, and I'm working on the farm, and I'm trying to get around. And I'm like Walter Brennan in the Real McCoys, hobbling around on one leg. And so I got an ACE bandage, and I wrapped it up, and I put all kinds of those salves on that deal with the pain, and I took Tramiel and some other things and then looked up online what I was supposed to take, magnesium, garlic, and I think curcumin, if I remember correctly, what I put them all together. And the next day I felt a little bit better. I'm using some aspirin as well to try to slow it down. But the reason I'm bringing it up is because yesterday the pain was kind of gone. I had an ACE bandage around it. But instead of the knee being swollen, my lower leg, my calf down to my ankle was swollen like a rock. I couldn't move the skin. It was so tight. And then last night it loosened up a little bit. So what the heck's going on?
Well, you can thank gravity for that.
Oh, thank you. Thank you,
Greg. Yeah, well, that's why we usually have problems when we get older with the lower extremities than we do the upper extremities, because fluid is going to flow in that direction.
So well, it went away, it's pretty much all gone now.
Well, yeah, because your body gets it back into the bloodstream. It gets it out of the tissue that surrounds the bones and the muscles, and it gets it back into the lymph that gets back into the bloodstream that's equally distributed throughout the body. Your body is constantly trying to create equality, balance, something called homeostasis. It wants you balanced emotionally, physically, chemically, neurologically, however it can do it. It wants to achieve some kind of balance. And when you get thrown a curveball, like you tore something in your knee, gravity is going to pull a lot of that fluid down. The skin's going to expand. And then other feedback mechanisms inside of your cardiovascular system, inside the nervous system, is going to do what it can to move that fluid out of there because it knows it doesn't belong there. Yeah. And it'll get into the lymph, it'll get into the bloodstream, and be redistributed throughout the body.
One of the things that I noticed, and I hadn't changed in my diet, I gained like 3 pounds. It must be all liquid, but where would that have come from? Why would I have gained 3 pounds practically overnight as a result of this?
You may not have gotten rid of what you normally would get rid of. When you swell up like that, the fluid isn't moving through the kidneys like they normally do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have a diet comprised mostly of carbohydrates, fruits and vegetables,
right,
which is the primary component, of course, is water. So you have a lot of water going through the system all the time. And so if you had something that impeded its release,
sale to me of me eating more protein?
you picked up on that, didn't you?
Hey, yeah, I'm very subtle.
You picked up
You're so subtle and I'm so
and
smart.
Fats.
Well, I take a lot of fat. I take a lot of fat supplements in terms of omega-3s, things that are very good for me. The stuff that actually Mary, your wife, put me on that protocol to deal with what was going on in my brain. Lots of fats. And so that brings me around to wondering whether there is the fats and blood thickness. I think I've always wondered, and somebody asked me this the other day. Somebody sent me a question for you, in fact. So this is a good place for it. Fats, if you're ingesting a lot of fat, the right fats, omega-3s, does it thicken or thin your blood or have any impact at all on your blood? We know that we want to get blood to our brains and to our muscles and stuff, but does that stuff thicken it, thin it, or not have any impact?
It doesn't affect it nearly as much as how much water you drink.
Really?
If you stay properly hydrated, you're going to have plenty of blood plasma carrying the red blood cells and all the other things that are inside the serum. If you have enough water in your diet every day, you're going to have plenty of blood flow through there. And
but does it get thicker
fat,
or thinner?
It doesn't. The fat doesn't really have that big of an effect on whether the blood is thicker or thinner. Not nearly as much as water does. Now, if you have a lot of sugar in your diet, if you have a lot of carbohydrates in your diet, your body is going to use that first and foremost for its energy source. And if you have a lot of fat coming into the system along with a lot of sugars, then that fat will accumulate, not so much in the blood vessels as it will in the fat, the adipose tissue, around your belly, your thighs, you know, wherever you collect your fat. That's where it's really going to accumulate. It's not like you eat a greasy hamburger, then suddenly the fat in that hamburger is in your bloodstream. Nothing could be further from the truth, although there's a lot of marketing companies out there that try to present that as the fact. Mm-hmm. That fat gets digested. It gets broken down. It gets digested. And then your body, your liver primarily, has to take that fat and wrap it up with a protein, which is the LDL, the HDL, this kind of stuff, so that that fat can mix with the water that's in the bloodstream and get it to the cells where it's needed. So the problem really is not drinking enough water and having too much sugar in the system. That will thicken the blood. Mm-hmm. I was recently talking to a nurse who does a lot of blood draws when the phlebotomist isn't available. And in this discussion, she mentioned, I said, how hard, because I have to go in tomorrow to have some a dental implant put into my jaw. And I know that they're going to have to anesthetize me to do it. And when I was talking to her, I was looking at the veins on the back of my hand, because that's where they're going to do it. And I asked her, what about small veins, tiny veins? How do you find this stuff? And she says, well, we try to get people to drink sufficient amounts of water prior to surgery so that we can always find those veins, because if they're dehydrated, not drinking enough water, the blood is going to thicken, the capillary beds are going to get tighter, and the veins are going to get smaller. So that's when you're talking about thick blood or thin blood, the primary factor is, are you sufficiently hydrated mm-hmm. with water?
All right. Speaking of blood, let's spend a moment talking about the best way to get blood around. I think maybe this brought me around to thinking about what we do with superbeets, whether that, in fact, doesn't thin the blood out. All it does is produce nitric oxide to open your arteries, so your sluggish circulation, which otherwise would wreck your health, would open up everything and get the blood to your muscles and your brain and to the extremities of your body. But I wondered whether it made a difference. In Chinese medicine, I know the circulation, obviously, and if you think it through, it stands to reason. Bad circulation causes pretty much all your health problems. And so my question was, does thicker blood have a harder time getting through the system? And what do you do to make it thin? And how do you tell? Can you look at the blood and say, oh, that's thin blood or it's thick blood? Or as a doctor, can he tell by looking at it whether it's thick or thin? Can you tell by looking?
Well, when you draw it, it's very difficult to tell at that particular point. When the blood is thicker, you're going to have a higher blood pressure. Mm-hmm. When the blood's thinner, you're going to have a lower blood pressure. There's several other factors that are involved in this kind of thing.
So I have low blood pressure.
But your body will beg, borrow, and steal anything it can from the rest of the body to keep that blood flow operating.
Yeah,
to make sure there's enough blood getting to the heart, to the brain, and to the organs, and it'll steal it from everywhere else it can. If you don't have enough water in the system, if you don't mm-hmm. have the proper nutritional balance, it'll steal it from the rest of the body to keep that heart beating and to keep that brain functioning.
All right, so there's the RX and the reason for optimum blood flow, as Jack just explained it. The way to get it, the mechanism, is to have nitric oxide, which is the third most important element in your body, to have enough of it so that your blood vessels are open, so the blood can flow freely to every inch of your body. So you need nitric oxide. You need superbeets. Your blood gets sluggish without it. Get these nutrients into your system and imagine the blood flowing. Just think about the blood flowing through your system, and you got it knocked. And the best way to do this is get on the Superbeet bandwagon. You get a free 30-day supply when you order at DougLikesBeets.com. They have made ordering so easy. DougLikesBeets.com. Contacting the living. In a manner or how to keep yourself alive, if that's your desire. If your desire isn't to keep yourself alive and healthy, then go away. We don't want to talk to you. We don't waste your time and our time. All right, so Jack at ForbiddenDoctor.com, the podcast coming up later this week, What Does Cause Heart Attacks? So that'll be a good focus.
It's a follow-up to the last one, What right. Doesn't Cause Heart Attacks.
Yeah, right. So you've got, that's now What Doesn't Cause. Then it'll be What Does Cause. And then don't forget that symptom survey that they have at ForbiddenDoctor.com, which has a special section on the heart. Go through this symptom. Doesn't cost you anything. You send it in for an analysis. That doesn't cost you anything at Jack's office. This is a fabulous service that he offers free. So take advantage of it. The symptom survey. Those of you who are curious about your health, your well-being, you'll take this survey. It's nothing but common sense. And as far as the other product that they have beside the Long Life Energy Enzymes, which Jack and I are always talking about because I take two of them in the morning and two of them at night. I think the recommendation is you take four a day. It doesn't hurt whether you can take them all at once or however you want to do it. But it's the benefit of having your gut working properly, which is really what this does, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you get right down to brass tacks, that's what it does. And then the other product that Jack has at his website, Ageless Thyroid, something that should be pretty self-explanatory for those of us who I have my thyroid, but there have always been issues with it, but not so much since I got on to this program. And the one of the things you can read at ForbiddenDoctor.com is the article about how enzymes destroy cancerous tissue, but not human tissue.
Yes.
Because they're two different things.
Well, they are. The orientation on the outside shell of the cancer. See, the cancer wants to survive as much as any other cell in the body wants to survive. And it creates the outer shell of the cancer cell. It actually, by its own direction, creates a shell to make it look like the rest of your body so that your immune system isn't aware of it. The cancer doesn't really know you're there, and your body doesn't really know the cancer's there until you do something to alert the immune system.
Which would be that, what? What kind of? What are you doing?
Well, that's the big thing in cancer therapy now in medicine is what it's called immunotherapy, and it's to spark the immune system into some acknowledgement that these cancer cells are present. So they're using drugs now to boost the immune system to recognize the cancer, which is the very thing that is stopping cancer from growing beyond its immediate presentation in almost everybody, because we constantly have cancer cells in our body all the time.
Yep.
The reason why it fosters in one person and not the other, again, comes down to the immune system. Did the immune system do its job, or was it AWOL? And when it's AWOL, these are the kinds of things that start
taking
place. So
what weakens the immune system, though? Let's put people on guard. Spend a few seconds talking about what it is that puts the...
We have a podcast on that.
Okay.
And it's there's something in the laboratory work that they do in hospitals, something called the phagocytic index. Now, the phagocytes are a part of your immune system that attack cancer cells and attack bacteria, attack viruses, attack everything else. And the phagocytic index is a study that's done to find out how fast the phagocytes in your blood will actually attack the enemy. So what they do is they'll take a sample of your blood and they'll put it in a dish and introduce bacteria. And they want to see how fast your white blood cells will go after that bacteria.
I didn't know that.
Sugar is the thing that can stunt bacterial attack up to 3 days. Uh-huh. And if you have sugar every day, you're going to have a weak immune system.
That's the Good Day Health Program. Dr. Jack Stockwell is with me. I'm Doug Steffen. Rich McFadden of the controls in our studio in Washington, where, as usual, focused on your health and well-being. So if that's not a focus of yours, then see you later. This is what this is all about. Maybe there'd be something in here that'll come about as a result of a conversation, something that you're eating. That's cool. For example, there are people who are suggesting, I don't know if I got this to you or not, the rotation of greens in your diet. If you have them in your salad, if you cook with them, have them in a smoothie, the way that we graze, the way animals graze, you need to move on. Like we have different grasses in our pasture at the farm for the cows to eat, and they know enough to move around. So they get some clover in one part of the field. They get some regular rye grass in other parts of the field. They get timothy in some parts of the field. They get barley.
What's directing them to do that?
Their instincts.
Their instincts. It's the genetic drive. But it's also the bacteria colonies that exist in a ruminant, you know, like a cow or a sheep
like
or a
four
deer.
Stomachs. Yeah, and a lot of rumination.
Right. And so there's different kinds of bacteria populations that bacteria wants certain kinds of food. I mean, we think of it as a microscopic little bug. But
yeah,
they're beginning to realize there's a consciousness in these populations. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's more bacteria in one stomach of a cow than there are people on this planet.
Yeah.
And so they look for the timothy. Beans. They look for the ryegrass. They look for the clover. They look for the herbs. They look for the flowers because they're being directed. We have that same still small voice inside of us. And this is why Mary is always saying to our patients and when she appears on the radio, eat what you crave, not sugar. We're not talking about sugar, processed flour. Yeah, but not processed flour and not processed sugars. But eat what you crave. And you may wake up one morning just a craving for eggs and bacon. You can't stand to not do it. But the next morning, the idea of eggs and bacon may almost seem repulsive, and you just want a bowl of raspberries or blueberries. Right. Listen to that inner voice. It will tell you exactly what you need to be eating.
I had a shepherd's pie made with fish last week, and I loved it. And I went back and had another one.
Yeah.
I stopped and got my, and the second one didn't taste as good as the first one. And now you're telling me what effectively took over. I'd had enough.
Yeah.
It sounded like, okay, this is a very unusual thing. Shepherd's pie is usually made with meat of some kind. I saw it, and it was made out of made with fish. So I said, "Okay, let's try that." And it was yummy. It was good. Very healthy, I'm sure, for me. But when I got the second one,
How's it feel about sitting down and having a big bowl of shepherd's pie with fish in it right now?
It's intriguing, actually. I'm beginning to think about it.
Well, then that's probably what you might think about having for lunch today.
So to sort of finish and stabilize our conversation about greens. The idea of having spinach all the time, kale all the time, broccoli all the time, asparagus all the time,
not
a good idea.
Roasted asparagus with butter now.
The time?
No, of course not.
No.
And you're right, because you will be directed to do these different things. Now, you can look at it scientifically and say, hey, the deeper the green, the darker the green, the more nutritious it is for you.
Yeah,
higher magnesium. But what kind of soil did it grow in?
Well,
I have a study.
The toxins that are there depend. That's how there are a lot of oxalates in spinach, and they cause kidney stones.
If you're out of balance.
Yes.
There's a lot of people who eat spinach who do not get kidney stones. Mm-hmm. Again, it's a balance kind of thing. But you're right. If you're prone to kidney stones, you want to watch out for the oxalates. Mm-hmm. Kidney stones are either calcium-based or they're oxalate-based. And so you're right. You have to be kind of careful with that kind of stuff. But that's why a rotating, you know, the healthiest salad out there is going to have at least 12 different colors in it. Mm-hmm. So that you're getting all the different kinds of vegetable variety that's available to you. And the more you can do it organic, the better you're going to feel when you eat it.
Okay. So that opens the door for me to remind people about how the Balance of Nature program works. If you listen to what Jack just said, the idea of having a balance to bring in these natural vitamins that come from fruits and vegetables. And with Balance of Nature capsules, a daily capsule will give you 11 servings of 31 different ripened fruits and vegetables. And the key here, Jack, is that they're ripened. There's nothing worse for you than to have, I used the example earlier of a banana that's not ripe. Nothing worse. Plus, it's like eating paste. You're not going to get any benefit from it anyway. And that's the case. So you can have unripened vegetables, and sometimes some of these supplements have them, but it doesn't do you any good. If it's ripened, that's where the benefit is. Ripened fruits, really solid vegetables all mixed together, 31 different kinds that are prepared, and there are 11 servings that are represented in the powder in this capsule that you get from Balance of Nature. So if you want to have all these servings, and the inexpensive, the first month is free. Anyway, the first month is free when you use the code DJV to order at balanceofnature.com. But if you listen to Jack, you listen to me talking about, listen, this is just common sense. Nature's fruits and vegetables are the balance of nature, and they will boost your immune system. You heard Jack talking about that, how important it is. You know it is. Instinctively, you know it is. And when you're on this program every day, your immune system will be enhanced by 700%. Stay on it. Don't get off of it. Get into a routine. Go to balanceofnature.com. Make sure you let them know that you heard the announcement here. Promo code is DJV. You get a free month supply of these nutrients, the balance from Balance of Nature. All right, you got it? Balanceofnature.com, code DJV. A reminder that you can find this at blogtalkradio.com and also many of the other podcasts that I'm doing now, the Hidden Power podcast, Balance of Nature, good, Doug. Blog, go to balanceofnature.com. You won't find the podcast. You will at blogtalkradio.com. Pretty easy to remember that. blogtalkradio.com/your hidden power, where Uri Geller reveals an unreported assistance that Michael Jackson provided during the September 11th tragedy. You'll also hear in the current podcast, visionary Stephen Dynan explaining to me how all of us in the human race can become closer, and talks about the new book, Sacred America, Sacred World, where we have different points of view about how to save things and make things better. Plus, in this podcast, Maria Francis Trilogy, who is our astrologer, talks about the astrological impact of these natural disasters. That's blogtalkradio.com/your hidden power. And you want the health podcast? It's blogtalkradio.com/good day health. The FDA has approved a genetic therapy for leukemia, and it's being used now mostly in children. And I look at these things, and people get so excited about them because it's a chemical breakthrough to enhance, in this case, your immune system. But say, the reason I bring it up is because it's basically the same pitch that we just had on building up your blood. I'm sorry, building up your immune system. But they want you to use drugs, and you want people to do it with food.
And the problem is you can't patent food. The only people who can make money off of food is the farmer who gets the raw end of the deal, the middleman, and the supermarket. That's who makes money. You can't make money off of food by selling it, in the sense that the better quality of food you eat, the better you're going to feel, no matter how much common sense that makes.
Okay, speaking of common sense, listen to this. This new therapy costs $500,000.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, how much less expensive it would be if you ate your fruits and vegetables, boys and girls, and did what Jack is suggesting to make your immune system, because that's all it is. You're fighting cancer. This new, my friend that you and I have talked about, Jack, who's on an immuno, if that's the way to pronounce it, therapy.
Yes.
Immunotherapy treatment for his immune system. That's how they're treating this cancer that he has. And I'm not sure it may be this same stuff that we're talking about here. But fortunately, he has good insurance. Can you imagine, though, what having to, if everybody that was on that had leukemia was on this drug for $500,000 of treatment? Good God. And again, realizing that it's not about perfection, but if you do eat well and right, you're not going to have these kind of problems in the main. And my pal would be the first to admit to you that he did some crazy things to his body when he was younger. So, you know, is he paying the price now?
As most of us do. Yeah, as most of us do. You know, leukemia is one of the very few problems in the body. Well, let me put it this way. Chemotherapy only works on about three different kinds of cancer, and leukemia is one of them. Usually childhood leukemias are very responsive to chemotherapy. It's interesting there. But they got to reach out and do something new because people are constantly wanting something new, especially the old $500,000 treatment.
Let's get more of those so those guys can make a little more money.
Exactly.
Big business. Big business. All right. Here, speaking of that, someone has developed a new medical camera that can see through your whole body.
Wow.
A camera that can see through your body. It's designed to help doctors track medical tools known as endoscopes that are used to investigate a range of internal conditions. This device is able to detect sources of light inside your body. The eliminated tip of the endoscope's long, flexible tube, for example. So why would that be important? What is there about this that is necessary? I'm trying if you got an endoscope, if you got a television camera in there, it's down there looking around. What do you have to have something detecting where it is in your system? I don't understand.
Well, it's just the march of technology. You know, they've got 3D color MRIs now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's the MRIs I started reading 20 years ago compared to what is available today is, I think, the difference between when we didn't have microscopes and then when we did have microscopes. And this, the technology will just continue and continue and continue to improve to where we can see the body inside out. Now, the issue is, with wonderful technology, the real issue is, what are we going to do with it? You know, are we going to change how we address problems that we can see more clearly and have a better understanding of what's going on? Or are we just going to throw more drugs at it?
Question time for Dr. Jack Stockwell on Good Day Health. Let's see here if we can. Here, this is from somebody named Richard, no relation to Richie McFadden, I don't think. With all the information regarding fat not making you fat, I've replaced skim milk with my cups of coffee using full fat milk. My problem is I've gained 10 pounds since starting to do this. So which is more detrimental? I guess that would be
the sugar that's in the whole milk. You know, there's lactose in there. Mm-hmm. Was it pasteurized milk or was it raw milk?
But that isn't
clear. With pasteurized, it's cooked and it'll have a slightly different effect in the body. But if you're just using a little bit of milk in your coffee,
a touch, right?
I would be looking for other causative factors because, you know, how much milk do you put into a coffee? Even if it's a cappuccino, which if I remember right, that's half coffee, half milk, or a latte or whatever they call it. Yeah. There still isn't that much. It's not like a glass of milk. Mm-hmm. And it's the lactose. It's the sugar that's in the milk that's far more weight producing than the fat is.
Uh-huh. All right. Next question comes from Monica, who writes, I've been told that I have bad breath, persistent bad breath. I don't know what's causing it or what I can do to remedy it. Now, a conversation that we had on the DJV program
last hour or 2 hours ago,
having your tonsils and that sort of the stuff that didn't get adenoids taken out causes bad breath. Is that with everybody or is it just
not necessarily?
What's in your stomach? You told me once. I think we talked about this in your office. I've been fortunate all my life. I don't have bad breath.
Well, the two biggest contributing factors is the health of the gut and the stomach, because those odors will come back up the esophagus and the condition of your sinuses. So, I mean, you can even a low grade infection inside the sinus can cause some horrendous breath, especially if it's the beta lymphocytic strep that grows inside there that causes strep throat. You don't have to have strep throat to have a population of that bacteria growing, but that can cause some horrendous breath. So those are the two things I would look to. You're going to have to improve the digestion, and we got to clean those sinuses out. Right. Just some regular sinus irrigation
with a neti pot. That's what you need. And keep the hair out of your nose, too. Ugh, nothing worse than seeing a hair in somebody's nose. Yucca. All right, speaking of things in your nose, remind you about what's growing in your pillow. Those mites, you ever seen a microscopic picture of those mites that are in pillows? They look like little lobsters with those claws. You can't see them. They climb around inside of your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth. And then when they crawl out of your body, they crawl into the pillow and they get themselves lodged in there and stay there. So that's why you have to replace your pillows. I got the perfect replacement. My Pillow, two premium pillows, two travel pillows. That's the four pillow pack, 50% off. When you go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code DJV. That's the message. That's simple, straightforward. Four pillows, 50% off. Go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code DJV. I don't know if time. This is a quickie. Ben wants to know about being hydrated. He's not sure if he's getting enough. Make sure it happens by doing what? What's your recommendation?
Well, the one of the theories is if you take your weight and cut it in half, that's how many ounces you should drink a day. Mm-hmm. Another one is the color of the urine. Urine should be kind of straw-colored. If it's yellow, you're not getting enough water. If it's white, you're probably getting more water than you really need. Mm-hmm. Mine is a kind of a common-sense approach. When you're thirsty, drink. And try to get as clean a water as possible. If you put a filter on your tap, get rid of the chlorine, get rid of the fluoride as much as you can.
Dr. Jack Stockwell on Good Day Health.